At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. It is a glorious, beautiful Friday, late morning, early afternoon. As always, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, grab your lunch. Come join yours truly. And today, producer Jake's out taking a nap or a siesta or something. I don't know. I think he's actually doing another podcast. But I'm joined by producer Austin today. But grab your lunch. Come join us. What you're going to hear? You're going to hear Husker sports, college football, and sports in general. What you're going to get is unique insight, unbridled honesty. And for the first segment, at least, producer Austin and I are going to have a whole lot of fun. How you doing, Austin?
Great, Adam. Good to be here.
Dude, this is the first time for you and me, I think, in studio. I think you've been a guest on my show a couple of times, but in this role, this is a first time for us.
It is.
You excited?
I am. So excited.
You're like, oh, God, I got to deal with this loudmouth guy who talks really fast.
I listen every day, so I think I understand the flow of the show, I think.
So you're used to it. Okay, all right. So I have this, as you know, loaded show, always a loaded show. Got so many things I want to talk about. I think everyone's used to that by now. Is Florida the best men's college programs in the country? Baseball, basketball, football. There's obviously other men's programs. Okay, but when you narrow it down to maybe the three most talked about, and especially the two most talked about, which is football and basketball, there's an argument to be made that the folks from Gainesville are ahead of everyone else, and I don't even think it's close. Also, apparently, you know, we sit out of practices now for contract negotiations in college. There's holdouts in college football now. Quarterback of the Tennessee Volunteers, Nico Iamaliava, is in the middle of contract negotiations. An unusual term for college sports. It's an unusual time. Welcome to the dawn of a new era, I suppose. And now we have our first ever, as far as I'm aware, college football holdout. All right, we're going to discuss that. Also, Dana Holgerson's press conference, Isaiah Hunter from yesterday, Emma Johnson was brought up, the whole running back room, running backs coach E.J. Barthel. Okay, Brian Rosen, the new volleyball coach at Creighton, is going to be joining me at 12:30 as well. All right, man. So right off the top here. Okay, so Nico Iamaliava is in active contract negotiations ahead of the 2025 season with the Tennessee Volunteers. It is unclear if the negotiations will impact whether he enters the transfer portal or not. He missed practice today, so he's holding out, or maybe he's sick and we just don't know it, but probably holding out. Sean Salisbury, an NFL guy, and I quote, "If this is how we are going to do college football, then we should be able to cut players anytime they want, attach buyout numbers to every player, and put a salary cap on the money available in the portal. Time to give these players a taste of reality. Also, need to tie academic progress and performance with their ability to get money. We no longer have college sports," end quote. Austin, what are your thoughts on contract negotiations, a holdout, everything that Sean Salisbury had to say? I mean, what's your reaction to all this?
It's crazy. I mean, Nico was fine. He was fine. Mm-hmm. He was okay. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got some growing to do. You see the talent. You see the potential. For him to be the first quarterback to hold out, I would have thought it would have been like Caleb Williams or someone mm-hmm. like that, maybe a year too soon. But who's the superstar quarterback in college football right now?
Well, the big name is Arch Manning. I don't know if he's a superstar, but the
right.
big name. Yeah,
that's the big name. He's barely played. He's not holding out. Cade Klubnik isn't holding out.
Mm-mm.
Drew Aller. It's Nico at Tennessee.
Yep.
It absolutely is the dawn of a new era and conveniently timed with the opening of the transfer portal here close to the end of spring practice. Yep. That is a masterful job of using leverage.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Tennessee, do I give in because I see the promise and potential of this kid who led us to the college football playoff last year, or do I kind of call his bluff? We don't have that in the budget. We don't have that money. We can't get that for you. You're not worth that. You haven't proven that yet. Does Tennessee and Josh Heupel call his bluff and let him walk?
Dude, it is crazy. I pulled up their depth chart here. And admittedly, I'm not an expert on Tennessee's depth chart, but I just pulled it up real quick. And I can tell you right now, they don't have a whole lot of proven depth behind him because I can see the words redshirt freshman, Jake Merklinger, I think that's how you say that, and George McIntyre. 2-3 listed on the depth chart are redshirt freshman, redshirt freshman. Nico Iamaliava has all the leverage right here. Mm-hmm. Leverage is everything. Timing is leverage, as Austin pointed out. That's leverage. And I'm sure these guys are talented. I mean, these guys behind him, Merklinger and McIntyre, again, I hope I'm saying that first name correctly, but they haven't proven anything. And to Austin's point, Nico looked great the first three games of the year last year, and then conference play set in, and then he looked like a freshman. So for him to be the guy doing this is kind of intriguing to me as well. You look around the country, there's not a lot of proven quarterbacks. Drawler, okay, high expectations for Arch Manning. He's probably about as proven outside of Drawler as you're going to get simply because he had played when the starter got hurt last year at Texas for a few games, and he looked pretty good. So for me, I'm kind of like, man, this is all about timing. This is all about leverage. This is all about, hey, you want one of these guys you don't know much about starting ahead of me? I'm with Sean, though. Like, you need to be able to cut guys. You need to be able to do things. If they're going to act like NFL players, they need to be treated like NFL players.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, the player's big thing is treat us as employees, right? Get paid mm-hmm. by the university. Well, guess what can happen to university employees? They can get fired.
Mm-hmm.
Players sure they want that? I'm not so sure they do. Absolutely not. They don't know what's on the docket.
Trust me, they don't want that.
No.
I know what it's like to walk in. I walked in on a Friday. I had family coming in St. Louis. Done with the workout. Ready for a glorious weekend. It's a beautiful day in the spring. I think at that point it was like May, maybe June. We were doing OTAs. Hey, they want to see you upstairs. I'm like, all right. Well, that's a little interesting. It's not the first time I'd been summoned upstairs, but it was just like on a Friday in May or June. It's a weird timing. Hey, by the way, you've been traded to the Redskins. Your flight's in 3 hours. I called my wife. First of all, I like to play pranks. Okay. She did not believe me. She didn't. And finally, it got to the point where I got mad at her. In her defense, I played pranks all the time, even more so back then. I like to think I'd matured a little bit since, just a smidge since then.
Would she agree?
I don't know. I don't know. If you're listening in, she's probably doing work around the house and work on the show at home. But if you're not, text in and just agree with me. But she didn't believe me. Finally, I'm like, I got to go. Like, I have a flight in 3 hours. I got to come home. I got to pack. I've actually never been back to my house in St. Louis since.
Wow.
Like, I literally packed to go that weekend. And then when I was going to come back to grab everything else, Angie's parents had come. We just had Jacob. He was the only kid we have. So they're like, no, we're going to pack everything. We'll get the house on the market. You stay out there. You look for a place for us to live. And I've never been back since, honestly. Wow. First house we ever bought. And I never got to say goodbye to it. It actually does kind of make me sad, legit. But my point is, I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be drafted. I know what it's like to be traded. And I know what it's like to walk in one day in D.C. about 4 years after I got there. Hey, you're upstairs. You just had your 6th knee surgery, Adam. We love you. We have waited with you. Nobody's ever come back after 6 knee surgeries and played in the NFL. We're letting you go. So I know what that's like. My point is, no, they don't want that. They also don't think they have to deal with it because right now they don't. They should be able to be cut. And by God, if you're going to hold out, we should be able to trade players.
That's the next step.
Trading players in college football. I never in a million years thought that would be something that would come out of my mouth.
And I still think that's probably a step too far. If the NCAA wants to maintain any semblance of the student part of student athlete, mm-hmm. especially for these players that, you know, maybe don't have the future at the NFL or they're a fringe type of guy, if they're there, you know, for school, also playing football, whatever it is, and you trade them to a place that doesn't have their major, credits don't transfer?
That's an intriguing
point. Is that going to be allowed?
Point.
Like, what are they supposed to do?
That's an intriguing point. Maybe trading's not on the docket right now. Maybe someday. I don't know. There's so many things. Could you have envisioned college football being what it is right now?
No.
I was about to say 10 years ago, 5 years ago before COVID. Could you have ever imagined this is where we'd be? I couldn't either. So you never know what's going to happen. All right. We got a clip we're going to play. I give respect where respect is due. I'm very open about my anti-SEC bias, which is not a real thing. What I am is pro-honesty and pro-accountability, And I think they're a little too full of themselves down there in the southeastern part of the country. I recognize they're good, but they're not just God's greatest gift to earth, like some of them would like to think that they are. That being said, Florida's in the SEC. Okay, we have a clip. Why don't you go ahead and play this clip and let me know if you agree, and then I'll follow up, Austin.
Florida is the only team right now to have three national titles in football and three national titles in basketball. And five of those titles have happened in the 21st century. That is, they have won two football titles, and they have won three titles in basketball. All of them have happened in the 21st century. I think you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. Florida, with Steve Spurrier, won the national title in 1996. I think I'm right. If I remember, 96 was Florida. 97 was the split between Nebraska and Michigan. 98 was Tennessee. And I believe back in 95 was Nebraska. That was the Tommy Frazier year when they absolutely dominated. I don't even know who would be number two on that list. There are lots of schools that are very good at basketball historically. Duke.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Indiana, Kentucky, Syracuse even. But for the most part, those schools are not very good. North Carolina, not very good at football and have never won titles there. There are schools that are phenomenal at football, like Alabama, Florida State historically. But typically, I know Alabama started to raise itself up lately. They haven't won a national championship in football and basketball. I'm trying to think just off the top of my head, how many have won both in the 21st century? Has anybody else won both? Am I crazy?
No, I don't think anyone else has won one in the 21st century in both basketball and in football, men's basketball, I should say. Notre Dame women's basketball run and got close in football, but didn't get the job done. UConn basketball is great, but we know their football is very, very not great. There's certainly a case to be made for Florida, and I think that good on the Gators for using their resources, their location and all that stuff to their advantage. But I also think it's fair to say, right now, the Golden title is a one-off. They were good last year, but not this good. They really improved. The Spurrier title, Florida was good in the 90s, but they fell off pretty hard. Really, Florida's had two elite all-time coaches that led them to the bulk of their success. Urban Meyer in football, Billy Donovan in basketball. They maximized those runs with the two titles for both of them. If Florida's in a great position. Florida has a lot of resources. Credit to them for using it. If we're just talking football and men's basketball, I mean, yeah, it's pretty hard to argue against Florida in the 21st century. But I think Florida is just kind of a B-plus, A-minus sports institution kind of across. Baseball has been good too, like you mentioned, Adam. But I think that's the mark of a healthy athletic department is when you have that balance and can be successful across sports where you don't just have that one kind of bell cow program.
I think you make some good points. It's interesting because even as we're listening to that clip and you're talking, I'm still looking up more information. So he brought up Alabama, obviously. Alabama in football has won six national titles. Good old Nick Saban. All right, since the turn of the new century. Now, when you look at 09, 11, 12, 15, 17, and 2020, those are their six national titles. And like you mentioned, they're getting better at basketball, but they're not in this conversation in basketball. They're decent, not great in baseball. UConn. All right, he brought up UConn basketball, which is phenomenal when I was a kid, and somehow they've taken it to another level as well. Since the turn of the century, because that's what we're talking about, They won in 2004, 11, 14, 23, and 24. So they've got five. They're not in this conversation because of football, with all due respect. You look at some of the other schools that are potentially in this conversation, because I did go to baseball. Okay. So no other schools won a national title in football and basketball, like Florida has done it twice in football and three times in basketball since the turn of the century, is what we're talking about specifically in football.
Michigan State, Ohio State have been close, but they didn't get it done.
In fact, one year, I think it was my senior year, 06, Ohio State played Florida in the national title in football and lost, and in basketball, I think they had Greg Oden that year,
and
they lost. Mm-hmm. So they were close, but no cigar both times. So Florida won 2007, 2000, let's see, 6, and then 2025 for the basketball, and for football, 06, 08, and obviously the aforementioned 1996. I was glad he mentioned that Molly Whoppin in 1995, just putting that out there. So no other school's done it once. They have won, what did I say, two football national titles, and ironically, three, actually more on the hardwood basketball national titles since the turn of the century. You go to baseball, they've also played for multiple national titles, and they've won multiple national titles, so they've done it in all three sports. We have a special guest. What's going on, my man?
Yeah, we had to get you a national champion in the room.
Dude, we have a legit national champion. Grab a mic. Hop in.
Let's do it.
Here, let me move my stuff here.
Let's do it.
All right, my man. So we are actually meeting for the first time. So it is very nice to meet you. I know you're on the show every Tuesday, Takedown Tuesday. I tune into you guys. You do a great job. But introduce yourself to the audience real quick.
Antrell Taylor, 157 pounds. I wrestle here at the University of Lincoln.
And just won a national championship.
Just won a national title from Omaha, Nebraska, too.
So what was that? I'm sure you've talked about this, but for the folks who haven't heard you talk about this, what was that like for you? It'd been about a decade since Nebraska had won one. Jordan Burroughs, you guys go out and do it twice this year.
Yeah.
You go to the Big Ten championships, you do really well, and you're gaining momentum. You go to the national championships, you finish number two in the country as the team. Mm-hmm. But what was it like as the season went along? You guys, I watched your first match. I'm not trying to be a downer. I watched your first match versus Iowa. Not you, but the team. What you wanted.
Definitely not.
The second was much better. You guys just got better as the season went along. Talk about that journey.
Yeah, I feel like as the season progressed and at the Big Ten season especially, we just kept – we did a good job of building on – even if it was a win or a loss, we just continued to pay attention to the end goal and not get too caught up in what was going on. Win or lose, we were just head down working. So – I just think that the faith and just continue to believe in the end goal of things, I think that's what got us to the position that we ended up getting.
So we will get back to the Florida and their national championships. When you have an actual national champion in the room, he gets the floor, all right?
Yes, sir.
So talk to me about a guy like Coach Manning. This dude has been great for two decades, and then he wins the tournament coach of the year. Maybe I'm wrong, and I hope I am. Somehow I feel like he's flown under the radar, but now he's finally starting to get the recognition that I feel he deserves. But talk to me about a guy like Coach Manning and what makes him so good.
Yeah, he's a hard-nosed, blue-collar worker. Like, he doesn't expect things, and I think that's why our culture is as good as it is, because he sets the standard, and we see him come in fired up each and every day, ready to go, and we look at him as like a role model, honestly, and he's great in all aspects of not just wrestling, just outside of life. And that's what's going to get him. That's what got him to being the coach that he is. So
does he attack every day like a rat on a Cheeto?
Yeah, like a rat on a Cheeto. Seriously, that's awesome. He was saying that saying all day today. Rat on a Cheeto, rat on a Cheeto. Then he said the GW one, the George Washington. Because I had somebody on their back. He was like, yeah, that's GW. I was like, yeah. See you later.
So explain to me. I can figure out what that means. I've not heard that.
Nah,
but where did that come from? What does that exactly mean?
That means like he's over. He's done. Done for.
Yeah. Basically. All right. Yeah. Doesn't stand a chance. The day doesn't stand a chance.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like that. All right, man. Talk to me. You're at the Nationals tournament, and I'm sure you've talked about this elsewhere, but I don't want anybody to miss the opportunity to hear this. You're at the Nationals tournament. You guys are doing well, mm-hmm. and you're advancing, and you're getting ready for the national championship match. Like, you go on the mat, you win this match, you're going to walk off a national champion. Mm-hmm. Was there pressure, excitement, anticipation, nerves? What was it like for you?
Yeah, the nerves are definitely there. I usually don't get too nervous, but leading up to that finals match, just watching Ridge and seeing how close that one was, I was just like, dang. And then actually, I was ready to go. I was bouncing around in the tunnel, and they're like, it's a 10-minute break. So I got all fired up, and I was like, dang, I got to sit here and wait 10 more minutes. So yeah, the nerves are definitely going, and just – But when that whistle blew, it was just, it was another wrestling match. I was ready to go.
So you win the match. Mm-hmm. When does it actually settle in? Like, when does it become real? Like, I'm a national champion. When does that moment occur?
It settled when all those cameras were in my face and they're interviewing me. I was like, dang, this is nuts. Like, this is how I feel to be a national champ. So, yeah, it settled in probably, like, actually settled in a week afterwards. And I was just sitting there like, dang, looking at all the posts. People like hometown heroes, stuff like that. That's when I was like, yeah, I actually did the thing.
So talk to me about, hop in here if you got a question too, Austin. Talk to me about being from Omaha. You said hometown hero and all that. Being from Omaha, being a Nebraska kid. How much more does that mean to you, being from Nebraska, being from Omaha?
Yeah, you know, it means a lot, because there's a lot of kids where I'm from that they don't make it to college. They just end up working somewhere or doing their own thing to make some money. So being from where I'm from, it means so much that I can put my city on the map and get the recognition that I'm getting, and getting my city more recognition just in general. So it means a lot to me, for sure.
What is the culture of Nebraska wrestling as a state, right? You grew up in the state. Mm-hmm. Is wrestling growing? Is it getting more popular?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. I definitely see wrestling growing, not just males, but female wrestling. That's growing especially, like, growing way more than male wrestling. But, yeah, it's definitely starting to get big around in Nebraska, for sure.
What's your selling point to a young kid who's looking for a sport? Should they get into wrestling?
I feel like you should get into wrestling because it betters you as a person on the mat and off the mat, you know, because it brings, like, because you got to really work towards something. You can't quit. Like, it's going to be little things that happens in wrestling, and you got to just overcome the adversity. And adversity is a big thing in life. You just got to overcome adversity almost every day. So, like, I feel like wrestling helps with that.
I feel like wrestling's probably the sport with the most, like, day-to-day focus on that discipline, right? You can't take a day off. Otherwise, hey, there's another pound that's up.
That's, like, the biggest thing. That's what makes people great in life. So discipline, I would say, is another good thing to have.
So I've never actually wrestled. I watched the stuff with steel cages and steel chairs. Okay.
WWE.
Yes. And the like. But I've had multiple people who played football and wrestled, played basketball and wrestled, played baseball and wrestled. Everybody I've ever talked to says wrestling is the toughest sport. And there's probably other sports I've never asked anybody about, but wrestling is the toughest sport that they've ever done. Why do you think that's the consistent answer I get to that question?
Because it's mentally and physically draining. Like, it's little things out there that we're doing that it's hard to do. Like, and people don't really notice it. Just from the outside looking in, it just looks like we're kind of just sitting there, you know. So, but it's a tough sport, but in all aspects, not even in practice. Like, each and every day you have to be ready, or else something to happen.
Anything else, Austin?
One more, Antrell. Was there a moment during the national tournament that it clicked in your head, like, I got a chance to do this thing. I can be a national champion.
It was after my second match. I went out there and pinned a dude in like a minute. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm locked in.
I'm locked in. Hey, these dudes let me catch my groove, man. I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
That's awesome.
It was after that match.
I appreciate you taking the time to join us, man. Thank dude, it's nice to meet you. You're welcome anytime, man. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Or to get into.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.